This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. And I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack in studio with me from Worldview Academy. And today we have a special segment of the Generations Broadcast as we visit what's going on in Austin, Texas. This is news just breaking on the Austin bombing suspect. Apparently, this young man was homeschooled. He was suspected of killing two people and wounding a number of others, and he himself was blown up in explosion on Wednesday. Now, his mother on a Facebook post said he was looking at a missions trip a few years ago, and evidently he decided against that. According to Reuters.com, the quote, the quiet homeschooled son of a local couple that sold Amway products is suspected of staging a 3-week deadly bombing campaign that gripped the Texas capital of Austin. As part of a U.S. politics class, students were required to create a blog about their own views on topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, and contraception. According to Juliana Solitro, Jeremiah Jensen tells the Austin American Statesman also that he was close to Mark Anthony Condit in 2012-2013. Jensen says they were both homeschooled in the same Pluggerville community, and he would often go to the Condit home for lunch after church on Sundays. He says they also attend Bible study and other activities together. So that's a little bit of background that we have thus far upon on this young man, Condit, Mark Anthony Condit, who is suspected of killing a number of people in the Austin area. So, Bill, it seems this is not good news for homeschoolers, especially since this is the second scandal that's come out in about 2 months. Remember, the first one occurred in California several weeks ago. So this is not the first time homeschoolers have been identified as suspects or have been proven to be the criminals in certain activities. Now, it's not to say that they're doing it any more often or on a more regular basis than those who are coming out of public and private schools. So we've gone over those numbers before. So this is not an indication that homeschoolers are more likely to break the Sixth Commandment or the Seventh Commandment or the Eighth Commandment as compared to their counterparts out of public and private schools.
No. And the San Diego Union-Tribune quotes the statement from the family. And the statement reads, "We are devastated and broken at the news that our family could be involved in such an awful way. We had no idea of the darkness that Mark must have been in. Our family is a normal family in every way. We love, we pray, we try to inspire and serve others. Right now, our prayers are for those families that have lost loved ones, for those impacted in any way, and for the soul of our Mark. We are grieving and we are in shock." And that's from the family that lives in Pflugerville, Texas.
We're sad for the victims and for the families of the victims having experienced some violent activity on the part of this young man, evidently, who's now dead, but he was the suspect in the bombings in Austin, Texas, over the last several weeks. And now, as far as motive is concerned, I don't think we want to go beyond what the Word of God tells us. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And Jesus Christ as well said that all murders, lusts, and all these other things come out of the heart. Also, 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives more explanation concerning this. The parents themselves perhaps shocked at the sinfulness of their son. But 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Jeremiah 17, these passages help us to understand, I think, in a clearer way, what is going on in the hearts and lives of these folks. 1 Timothy chapter 3, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power." So indeed, this explains somewhat as to how some young people can be raised in a home where there is some degree of biblical instruction and such, and yet still just have a form of godliness but deny its power. So this kind of thing can happen.
Jeremiah Jensen, who you quoted earlier, said this: "Certainly a lot of the homeschool community in Pflugerville, Texas is conservative, and a lot of kids were raised that way. I think a lot of people jump to conclusions and want to make him, Condit, out to be a conservative terrorist, but I think it has more to do with loneliness and anger than it has to do with anything else."
Okay, well, whatever the case, we can be sure that it's out of the heart, the evil heart of man, the heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, that always takes the neighbors by surprise, takes the family by surprise, takes the other church members and members of the community by surprise. They always say he was such a nice guy. He always had a kind way about him. In fact, I see this in quotes from neighbors on this particular story as well, Bill. But it turns out, indeed, the young man had a heart that was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So the Word of God explains in no uncertain terms the problem with man, with his heart, especially with those who are unregenerate. That is the natural heart of man. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
There is nothing our nation and our families need more than the Word of God. Do you want to build a family that will stand? Jesus said the wise man built his house upon the rock of Jesus' own words, and his house stood through the raging storms of wind and flood. In a world where families are coming apart at the seams, where there is little generational faith continuity, let's build our families on the rock of God's word every day. Generations is sponsoring the Bible Family Conference on August 10th and 11th in Washington, D.C., with speakers Ray Comfort, Ken Ham, Steve Green, Joel Beakey, Douglas Bond, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. We have organized tours that will feature this nation's biblical Christian roots, and we have secured tickets to the new 430,000-square-foot Bible Museum. Take your family through this museum and check out a huge collection of Bible artifacts, amazing archaeological discoveries, and a Bible in American History exhibit. It's the ultimate family vacation to Washington, D.C. this August. The Bible Family Conference happens the week of August 7th, sponsored by Generations.org. Registration prices start at $59, and early registration ends March 31st. Register at Generations.org. That's Generations.org.
And welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, and Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio today. As we review this case in Austin, where the suspect for the bombings in Austin, Texas, over the last several weeks turns out to be a homeschooled young man, some 24 years of age, who graduated from high school about 6 years ago. Now, I'm not going to say anything more about this case. Bill, from henceforth, I'd like to make some comments about homeschooling itself. And I think I'm in the position where I can make comments about this, as you are as well, Bill. You were one of the very first speakers at a homeschooling conference, I believe, in 1986.
Wow, I'm really old.
You're probably one of the longest lasting homeschooling speakers on the homeschool circuit of anybody in America.
Yeah.
I'd say, you know, Mike Ferris, Mike Smith,
yep.
A few others might be right there where you are. But I remember seeing a brochure of you being one of the keynote speakers at the Colorado conference.
Very first one.
What, 32, 33 years ago.
Yeah.
But I've been involved myself for about 50 years. It turns out this is my 50th anniversary as involvement in the homeschooling movement. Some 50 years ago, my mother taught me how to read in a homeschool in Portland, Oregon. And then I was homeschooled throughout the 1960s and 1970s. Well, now let's take a look at homeschooling itself. I think with homeschooling, from my experience with interacting with homeschoolers at homeschooling conferences over the last 30 years, I've spoken at homeschooling conferences myself since 1986. I think 86 was my first conference in Paso Robles, California. And I think with homeschoolers, what you get is a fairly wide standard deviation. Now, what I'm saying is a wide range. You get everything from, I guess you could say, from the sublime to the absurd.
or from the sublime to the ridiculous, or, you know, all the way up to three standard deviations on the plus side, all the way to the negative three standard deviations on the other side, if you're looking at the normal curve.
Yeah.
But but there's a wide distribution of homeschoolers. I mean, it's not as if you start to homeschool, it's a panacea. Everybody's going to do it with a Christ-centeredness and a biblical worldview foundation. And all homeschool graduates are going to turn out as strong Christians. I don't think
they're going to turn out to be the next Billy Graham.
Right.
Or Apostle Paul.
Obviously, that is not the case. Homeschooling is just another methodology of education. You can say that there are other forms of methodology as well. Some use classical forms of education. Some will go with Montessori. Some will go with the unit study approaches. Over there's various approaches to education. So just the fact that somebody's using a certain approach to education doesn't mean they're going to turn out a certain way. Now,
is not the answer. Education is not the solution to the heart of the problem. The problem is the problem of the heart.
That's right. And the problem, it can only be solved by the Holy Spirit of God regenerating the heart, producing a new heart, a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, ultimately what we want to see, of course, with our homeschools is a family discipleship program in which we're discipling our children in the Word of God as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. But I think what you get with homeschoolers also oftentimes is the anti-establishmentarianism, where they are just against the establishment. And sometimes you have this this setting of an anarchist against the socialist. And, of course, with homeschoolers, we see a rise in anarchism. I see many homeschool graduates interested in anarcho-capitalism and anarchism and so forth. In fact, I've seen this on the increase in the last 5 to 6 years, sadly. They're moving more and more towards anarchism. The problem with anti-establishmentarianism is that just simply being anti-establishment doesn't give you anything of a biblical standard. That is, you oppose the establishment just because you oppose establishment. And the anti-establishmentarianism folks tend to break the rule of guilt by association. That is, for example, they'll say socialists brush their teeth. So I stopped brushing my teeth.
I'm going to stop now.
Yeah. So if you say that the group you're against does this, then we will be opposed to that. So it tends to produce people who are against roughly everybody and everything, at least everybody and everything that the establishment represents. So again, this anti-establishmentarianism is dangerous, and it can move towards anarchism for young people especially. Also, it seems to me that anti-establishmentarianism folks tend to weigh guilt on society and governments, institutions in general, instead of realizing that, you know, it's individuals that are guilty before God, as well as institutions that are violating God's laws. So they tend to ignore the individual responsibility that each and every one of us have towards God and towards God's law. And so therefore they wash themselves of that guilt. They believe that they are free of any guilt, and they place the guilt for all of society's sins upon these institutions and upon the establishment. And that itself is a real danger. I think of Proverbs 30, chapter 11, where these young folks, again, turn more revolutionary against the establishment. And they're a generation that curses their father, that they do not bless their mother. There's a generation that's pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from its filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are like swords, whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and needy from among men. So here you get the standard young person who's the idealist and the anti-establishmentarianism person who believes that they are the standard of all that is holy and righteous and good, and they set themselves against the establishment and superiors that God has placed over their lives, whether it be in the family, church, or the state. There are actually two forms of autonomy that develop. And when I say autonomy, Bill, you know what that is. That's to be a law unto one's self. And
that's what happens when people reject God's law and they reject God's authority and his sovereignty, then they do become a law unto themselves.
Yeah.
And so anything is acceptable. Anything is reasonable. Anything is justifiable.
There are two forms of that. The one form is the individualistic form. The other is the social form or the corporeal form. Two forms of anarchy, or two forms of autonomy in which people stand themselves against the laws of God and become the source of law for themselves. And this, of course, is the basis for all humanism. But humanism is really broken down into the anarchist or the individualist, and on the other side, the socialist and the tyrannical leader who is breaking God's law on a corporate level. So again, the two forms of autonomy that develop, and I think sometimes homeschooling is responding and reacting against socialism. Why? Because socialism is what controls the 92% of education in most of our developed nations today. In other words, at one point, education was a part of the family's jurisdiction, but since roughly the 1840s and 1850s, socialism, a big government tyranny, has taken over education. So the homeschoolers tend to be those who want to react against tyrannical forms of autonomy or tyrannical forms of control over education. And then they might ricochet over towards more of an anarchical form of autonomy. And I think that's the problem we have with homeschooling at points. Is that the original homeschool movement, you know, formed around John Holt. And John Holt himself was not a Christian. Some say at the very end of his life he became a Christian. But as he was espousing the homeschooling movement in the 1960s and 1970s, John Holt tended to move towards anarchy and tend to move more towards a radical form of libertarianism or an edgy form of libertarianism. He also influenced Americans for a Society Free from Age Restrictions. He was also influential in the development of the National Youth Rights Association, the Free Child Project, these all being forms of individualism that is basically undermined the idea of the family, undermined the idea of the parental authority in a child's life, and tried to espouse the idea that a child needed to be individualized. So it was a radical form of individualization. And again, it was a knee-jerk reaction against the socialism of the day. Now, that makes perfect sense that you have guys who react against the idealistic forms of socialism that control all aspects of human life and want a knee-jerk reaction against that and move towards a raw individualism. And that's precisely what we see with the modern feminist movement as well. So again, my friends, these are two forms of autonomy, two forms of humanism, one reacting against the other. And Bill, I think it's dangerous. I think the idea of reacting to tyranny, but then moving towards anarchy is, again, extremely dangerous. It's just as evil as tyranny. Anarchy is just as evil as tyranny because it rejects God's law as the standard for life. And yes, it's rejecting the God state, but it's replacing the God state with the individual God and the individualism that was so well espoused and well defined and described by the author Ayn Rand, who wrote a book called Anthem. And now listen to one of the classic quotes from Anthem. This is Ayn Rand, again, the knee-jerk reaction against socialism to move towards individual forms of autonomy as an anarchy. Ayn Rand writes in Anthem, "Now I see the face of God, and I raise this God over the earth, this God who men have sought since men came into being, this God who will grant them joy and peace and pride, this God, this one word, I." There you get it. Yep. See, this is the typical reaction towards socialistic autonomy. And it turns out to be an individualistic form of autonomy, but just as evil as a socialistic tyrannical form.
And what we call that, when it's played out, is we call such people terrorists because they only recognize a law unto themselves. And so when you have this individualistic autonomy, then it leads to terrorism. You will either terrorize other people on a small scale or on a large scale, but you will be the only law that exists. And you impose that law on other people through your will. and you shake your fist in the face of the sovereign God of the universe.
Yes. And there are internal contradictions, of course, to this idea of myself turning myself into a god, because it's this competition for godhood between others. There's this exertion of power over others that develops out of this desire for one to become a god unto himself. The problem is, Bill, that not everybody can be a god, and not everybody will worship you as a god. So there's this constant battle for power over others. And that's where these young people will tip into some form of violence, because they're trying to establish some kind of power over others.
They're throwing in the godhood. They're just falling on the floor and kicking their feet and flailing their arms like a 2-year-old throwing a tantrum because they do not get what they want, which is the I want. And they have I problems. Okay. They have an I problem. It's all about me.
Yeah. Well, it turns out that this tension between the tyrannical godhood of the state and the anarchical godhood of the individual is seen in the popular media today. And I think it has an influence upon young people. I believe it does. I believe that some of the superhero movies have an influence upon young people, as almost in every case of these superhero movies, tyranny is set against anarchy. You think of the Avengers, who are the vigilantes, always setting up some form of anarchy against tyranny, as if somehow the anarchy is going to beat tyranny and will produce something of a solution for society, but it never does. What happens is anarchy plays against tyranny. Tyranny then plays against anarchy. Anarchy plays against more tyranny. More tyranny plays against more anarchy. And so on it goes until society is taken down with higher and higher levels of chaos. And this is what happens with the Batman movies as well. Batman himself is an anarchist. He's a vigilante setting against other forms of anarchy, as in the Joker. And recently I reviewed a Batman movie and I saw this in spades. Batman is an anarchist. He's setting himself against other forms of anarchy in an attempt to prove man as God. In fact, the ultimate line in the latest movie, The Dark Knight, was a letter written by Rachel, I believe it was, to Batman. And in the very, very last words of her letter to the Batman, Rachel writes, "If you lose your faith in me, please keep your faith in people." So again, that is the essence, the very essence of the Batman movies. It was humanistic to the core. And at the end of the movie, of course, they had to immortalize Harvey Dent, even though he was not immortalizable, because, again, what they wanted to do is prop up faith in people. They wanted to prop up faith in man instead of turning man to God and submitting to the true and living God. So, again, my friends, these forms of anarchy, these forms of vigilantism, et cetera, very much advocated by the chaotic forms, the anarchical forms found in the Batman movies, the Avenger movies, many of the superhero movies. And what is the solution for us? Well, I think what we need to teach our children is that we are not to turn the state into God, and we're not to turn the individual into God, but we are to serve the true and living God. All the gods of the heathen are idols, but the Lord has made the heavens. Let's be sure that our children understand the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," and that includes the state, as well as individual man. And today we live in an era in which humanism is pretty much the ruling ideology of the day. Humanism is the thing that is taught in Hollywood. Humanism is the things that are taught in public schools and public college. Humanism, the idea that man is God and man is to be trusted with godhood, is the thing that is taught by the humanists of the day, but we are to reject that. We are made in the image of God. We are made to be obedient to God and to worship and to glorify the true and living God, and him only we are to serve. Well, that, my friends, is the first thing to say about this. Second thing is we need to train our children to submit to God's authorities that he's placed in our lives. As in the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. That is the fifth commandment. Let's be sure that we're raising our children such that they're not cursing their father that they're not cursing their mother, that they're not just a generation pure in their own eyes, but not washed from their own filthiness, that this is not a generation who are lofty in their own eyes, their eyes lifted up, their teeth like fangs, like swords, like knives to devour the poor from off the earth. This, my friends, is what happens when young people rebel against their fathers and their mothers, when they rebel against their God-given authorities in their lives. This, of course, is classic anarchism, where man does not want to submit to his God-given authorities. He doesn't want to submit to the elders in the church. He doesn't want to submit to the civil magistrate. But, Bill, it's so important that that we submit to the authorities that God has placed in our lives. There are some homeschooling families in which the father is sort of this patriarchal control freak, and he doesn't want to submit to elders in his own life. It's as evidenced by church hopping or by arguing against the pastor and the elders of the church ad nauseum or whatever. So, you know, you have examples of mothers who won't submit to their husbands or fathers who aren't going to submit to the elders in the church. And then they wind up seeing that their children are radical anarchical jerks and they're not submitting to their own father and mother. And they may even do worse things than their parents did. So, again, it's important for us to raise our children with this recognition that God is the ultimate authority and God has placed these authorities in our lives. If we are to fear and to respect and reverence the true and living God, we're certainly to fear and respect and reverence our own parents and the authorities that God has placed in our lives. And then the final point that we want to make before we're done with this edition of the Generations broadcast is we need to avoid strict individualism. That is, we need to prefer a covenantalism of family and church. On the one hand, we're not strict statists, but on the other hand, we're not strict individualists. We don't want to worship the state. We don't want to worship the individual. And we don't want to see ourselves as merely individuals plugged into some massive socialist state. Who are we and what do we belong to? We're the children of God, but we are placed in families and churches, and we need to see ourselves as covenantally belonging to family and church. And that's key in a Christian social system.
Yeah, otherwise you end up out on the ledge by yourself and you have no check and balance. You have no input from those who are fathers in the faith, for example, to bring you off the ledge. So you need that community. Community is very important. It's not just the individual. Now, Jesus didn't die for the community. He died for the individual. So the individual does matter. The individual is supremely important. But we are created to be in community. We are created to be in community in family, in church. We have work. And yes, there is the community of government. And the state has that sense of community as well. But it's all under the auspices of the sovereign God. And if you remove that, then these things do get out of balance. And that's when the danger occurs, because you either tip towards anarchy, terrorism by the individual, or you end up towards statism, terrorism by the state.
Based on 35, 40, 45 years of experience with the homeschool population, I think it's important that our listening audience, at least those who homeschool their own children, take these considerations, these warnings, into account. It certainly is possible for us to fall into various traps and make certain mistakes as we set out to homeschool our own children. So I hope this edition of the Generations broadcast has been valuable to you. I would encourage a balanced look at the Christian family, a balanced look at what the Word of God has to say about homeschooling and family-based education. And I include a number of chapters on these subjects in my book, Family Life, An Introduction to the Biblical Family, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.